It's election season already, and House lawmakers want to update the Hatch Act. The last time Congress changed that 1939 law was that governs political activity of federal employees was in 1993. That's before the Internet, before Facebook, before Twitter. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with details on the hearing about why Congress wants to modernize the Hatch Act. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Amy.
So what areas of the Hatch Act are most in need of updating?
Well, witnesses and members of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee yesterday focused on a few specific areas. The first is creating a better definition of who's an exempt employee from the Hatch Act. Currently, the law says anyone working in the executive office of the president. So it's the big, it's the White House, it's the Office of Management and Budget, anything around that. Richard Painter is a law professor at the University of Minnesota and a former associate White House General Counsel to President George W. Bush.
I do not agree with exemption. I don't think it ought to be there, but it's there, and that is how it has been interpreted under several administrations. And now the Office of Special Counsel report has taken the position, referring to the Leave Act, and I think has made a credible argument, but referring to the Leave Act has said that basically commissioned officers in the White House only may participate in political activity of this sort. So this is a serious concern that the law is not clear in this area. And therefore, I believe strongly that the law needs to be clearer, that the law, in my view, should simply prohibit the political activity of this sort, but we need a clear message to executive branch employees as to what they can do and what they cannot do.
Now, Painter says there are 100 commission officers in the White House, 25 special assistants, 25 deputy assistants, and 50 associate general counsels. But really, he believes that only the president and the vice president should be exempt from the Hatch Act. Now, Painter and others say this would also help the distinction between what is political activity and partisan activity. For instance, a recent White House meeting with business leaders is of concern to the committee because, according to the New York Times, the Democratic National Committee actually organized this meeting for the president at the White House, but it's with business leaders who could help with policy. So is it political or is it partisan? Darrell Issa is the committee's chairman and asked whether it's difficult to have that clear cutoff where political appointees or even Schedule Cs or when they're attending, for instance, let's say fundraisers. Painter says that there has to be a bright line, but defining the difference between who and who cannot attend, and this could even mean a simple federal career employee who does this something on their own time, is much more difficult. But Schedule C or political appointees really are easy to say these people cannot attend fundraisers, should not be involved in political activity. Now, the other issue that came up was penalties that federal employees face for violations of the Hatch Act. Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton says the penalties for violations start at dismissal and then work backwards. She says that goes against the idea of due process and would like to see something more around fair warning. Anna Galindo Marone is the Hatch Act Unit Chief at the Office of Special Counsel. She says the penalties have the opposite effect of what's intended.
Anecdotally, I can share that from time to time, agencies seem reluctant to refer Hatch Act complaints to our office for concern that if it's a case where the office, after investigating, finds that it warrants a prosecution, that they might lose a good employee.
Galindo Marone says of all the cases referred to the Merit Systems Protection Board last year for the Hatch Act violations, only one employee was not dismissed. They received a 120-day suspension. Both Holmes Norton and Issa believe fair notice for federal employees about potential Hatch Act violations is a very good place to start.
So, Jason, how big of a problem are Hatch Act violations or even potential violations? Remember what happened with Loretta Doan at GSA a few years ago and those alleged violations?
It's definitely a growing problem, especially now with the technology such as Facebook and Twitter and other social media tools. OSC's Glenda Marone says in 2010, the agency received a record number of complaints.
During that year, Hatch Act unit staff, which consists of only 15 employees, issued well over 4,000 advisory opinions. Also during that time, the unit received 526 complaints and investigated and resolved 535 cases. Many of these cases were resolved informally without litigation by advising employees they were in violation of the Act and securing their willingness to comply with the law. A number of the complaints the unit investigated or is currently investigating concern allegations of federal employees using their official authority to affect the results of election, including instances where supervisors targeted subordinates for political contributions.
Now, part of this issue is the confusion over what is allowed and what is not allowed. For instance, if an employee has their picture taken with the president and it hangs in their cube during the election season, which obviously is starting sooner and sooner, then is that a violation? Some say yes, others say no. The OSC has strict rules on whether that is a violation or not. For instance, Glenn O'Marone says if they take a photo and they blow it up to 10 by 13 or draw horns on it or a pointy beard or put a halo around it, that definitely is a Hatch Act violation. But if they hang the picture as it was given to them and does not alter it in any way, then maybe it's not. In fact, the confusion over what is allowed and what isn't is not just with photos. Partly it comes from the OSC. In 2002, OSC issued an advisory that constitutes prohibited political activities using government email addresses. It became known as the water cooler advisory because it was the type of conversation that happens around the water cooler. That would be okay. But the confusion, because what does that really mean? So in 2007, OSC rescinded that advisory, and now people are kind of wondering, okay, where's the line? Glenda Maroon says this is why OSC does a lot of education, a lot of outreach, a lot of speaking, but the clear distinction in the law would help, as she said and other witnesses said.
We are speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. How much agreement is there across the committee, which has, of course, got both parties involved, to update the Hatch Act?
I think there's pretty much agreement across the board. In fact, this hearing could have gone down a path of a kind of a partisan one and went very much more calmly than maybe usually expected. Will it happen later this year? It's hard to say. I think Congressman Darrell Issa, the committee chairman, says he'd like to get something moving before the 2012 election, but there's so many other pressing issues, it's unclear whether it can happen anytime soon. Issa offered a little insight in terms of what could the updated bill look like.
Whatever we do with the Hatch Act, we must have a carve-out for the security of cabinet officers, and particularly the president and vice president. In other words, some accommodation within the Hatch Act to recognize that the locations in which the president may have meetings with supporters and the like has to be consistent with some form of security for himself and other key members that may, in the future Hatch Act, be allowed to participate. I'm deeply concerned that we not create a situation in which we put certain officials in a position where, in order to have the kind of meetings they need to, they find themselves in facilities inappropriate, recognizing that the White House is the most appropriate place usually for the president.
Whether he or anyone else would introduce a bill to update the Hatch Act, but I think it's something definitely on their agenda.
And Jason, I wanted to ask if there was any indication at the hearing about whether some of the trivial things like a picture of the president or maybe the former president or something or a candidate in a cubicle, is there a parallel? I'll make a parallel with the constitutional provision against the establishment of a religion by Congress has come to mean any utterance of any kind of religious expression whatsoever on government property. It almost gets taken to an absurd degree. Was there a sense that maybe the Hatch Act, where you can't campaign and solicit donations and so forth, is taken to a extreme degree by banning a photograph sitting there in somebody's cubicle?
I think so. I think that's part of the problem. And with, again, going back to the social media, going back to the way people act, how much TV, how much newspapers, how much things that are read on the Internet, it's kind of hard not to have those conversations. When you say, hey, did you see the debate last night? Does that often become a Hatch Act violation if you say, I thought candidate, Senator so-and-so won or Congresswoman so-and-so lost? Or does that start? And I think that's part of the issue they're trying to clear up. And I think the Office of Special Counsel's caught. They, issued 4,000 advisories last year. How does anyone keep track of what's you can do and what you can do? I mean, it's like one of those things. You just don't talk about it because that keeps you safest.
It also seems like it would depend on the circumstance surrounding each particular case, that it's almost not impossible to write regulations around it, but that every case is going to have to be reviewed separately depending on the circumstances around what kind of picture you may have or what kind of conversation you might have had.
And I think that's something that both the Congress and, OSC and lawyers understand that, and that they do take it on a case-by-case basis. And that's why so many of the OSC investigations end with the, Galindo Marone called informal discussions, it gets done informally because they say to the employee, listen, what you've done is wrong. It's a Hatch Act violation. Do you understand that? Okay, you do. Don't do it again. Okay, I won't do it again. We're done. Versus actually pushing it toward the Merit Systems Protection Board, where then, as we talked about, people end up being terminated versus just suspended or just, you know, get a wrist slap. And that's something that the Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton brought up. The fact is, these penalties are really punitive, and do they really need to be so punitive? Maybe on a second violation you do have dismissal, but maybe the first one you get the benefit of the doubt that you just made a mistake.